and the new Lord's Holy Commission.
Good morning, all our journeys and other commissions.
Sometimes Honourable, just a special mention for those active campaign works. So the appraisal will be audited to group snapshot and then people management, so the total of the workers, people management and Dr. Nadeli, who is the chief director of the program, and Professor Kuga will then contribute to the presentation. Infrastructure projects allow us to turbo handler, financial management, and intermediary, supply chain management to leadership. And then the program should focus on the implementation of your clinic as a strategy and team on your best practices. So on the snapshot picture, a chief question, just to very briefly indicate that our population actually includes three basis structures for the million. Opportunity, climate change, uninsured. And I would like to echo the words you have used on your chief question in terms of changing the conditions and the social conditions for health. Of people living, and those should be called kids of our population is our main focus, although we recognize very often some of the issues that we have across the previous services. We do see population growth of about 2.6% per annum, and that equals to a patient growth of about 1.5% every year. Our budget is 20 billion, we've got 31,500. Longevity of people living in the Western Cape of average 66 years. We are very grateful to be that that is one of the highest in the country, and we are still working to improve that. But our services perspective, we have 482 primary health care and services, 43 hospitals, and 253 ambulances. And we see if you take the ambulance trips in also add that 15 million patients. This is just to link our total population growth of all provinces, which tends to the far right. The one very steep decline is Gauteng. Some of the other provinces do show proposed reductions in 2035. The population is between 2001 and 2011, there was a 28% decrease of population. We've got a good bit of disease, just to confirm about our clinical details, that it remains priority for the Western Cape. HIV TB remains a big challenge, TB specifically. We are trying out new approaches to see how we can tackle this major challenge. On the HIV front, we are showing improvements. We recognize the challenge with adolescent goals. Where that is not only every countrywide, but sub-Saharan Africa wide, where there is an increase in incidence in the right adolescent women. Chronic diseases, again, countrywide big problem in our province specifically, and we find that diseases, depending on lifestyle choices, how you eat, how you exercise, how you sleep, how you have sex, all of those things contribute to our conditions. But the particular challenge that we do have is mental health. Big challenge in our province, and I'm sure that goes countrywide. Drug abuse and alcohol use contributes to our burden here. Injuries, big challenge. We do have gangs in our communities that seem to have a lot of challenges for us. Vehicle accidents and other personal violence remain a problem. Maternal and child health, big challenges in the province. Our maternal mortality rate in our province is the lowest in the country, and it is also an area that we try to work on even further. Child health, we work very hard for health indicators to improve our child health space. We are grateful to say that the deaths due to malarial disease, which is a kind of a disease in the southern part, has dropped significantly through all the approach and upstream approach that we have put into that, also working together with our municipalities. So this slide is just a picture I took on the Cape Times, that was in 2014, where we were putting forward in 3 days, and it just shows the vibrant nature of our communities. Fortunately, it's not the same every weekend, but it is a big issue that puts international pressure on our services. Economic realities, this is just to indicate that from a budget point of view, in real terms, our budget is reducing. It is not increasing. Largely due to the wage agreements that were reached, and these provinces gave their countries the funding that went for them. So in this year, when we ship, we've got about 450 million tons that we have to place down. And these are very often posts that are already full, services are already in place, and they have to save by the reduction in real terms, but potential growth in real terms, and these are definitely two major challenges. At least the reputational risk, but also sustainability risk. And at least at the top, and to really reflect on how can we do this differently, because we want to reach every patient, we want to do the best of patients that we can, but it should be those reactions of budget reduction and such growth at the same time. This is just an image of one hospital where we try to keep the patient in corridors, where there's nursing space in the walls. We respond to that largely by focusing on the whole system, not that every patient dropping off in the hospital system to make sure that we strengthen the system from the primary care, our system upwards, yet the load is still reduced and the patient increases in time. The final response is just that the primary care should keep patients operating wrong. And even there, we've got a range of strategies to try and reduce that to improve the patient experience. Then just lastly, geriatrics. So at the macro level, how do you respond to these realities of reducing budget and the patient decrease? They are concluding these to link with the WHO approaches to patient experience. So our strategic goal for development is to promote health and wellness, and as the nurse has indicated, our health increase is 50 focus on wellness and not only on disease. The second strategic goal is to get good coverage. Value-based and values-driven leadership. So the top part of the slide is showing the purpose. Obviously our purpose is important, is to have patients that are having a good experience in our services, start with our engaged, they feel safe, they feel nurtured, they feel respected, and they feel good about how that comes, or how that comes. So those are the big areas that we have to focus on. So we work on our identity as part of our business resilience. We've got the values, building up from the Health Equity City Foundation. The minister has alluded to the values, and the honorable chairperson will also allude to each of respect to our patients. That is definitely one of the values that we drive. We've got also the initiatives that go with that value that we can keep them accountable for that. I should put these boxes here. The first one, Health Equity City Colors. So we've got, for example, a hospital bed plan. An infrastructure plan, not for 2050 and beyond. So we know, based on our population analysis and disease analysis, where we will build hospitals, where we will primary our infrastructure to offer 2050. So our plan is in focus towards wellness approach. The second one is good knowledge, internal and external. The minister, as you alluded to, 12 consecutive years of unqualified audit. I'm very proud to say, honorable chairperson, that we have been for us to receive the team financial audit. The team has our audit, there's just one or two findings on some of the indicators, but we are very proud to show that our income strategies are paying off. The management indicators also are external relations. We are working increasingly with other hospitals because of the upstream factors. Social group, education, community safety, make sure that upstream factors are increased. The third one is organizational culture. That we try to create a culture where there is support, where there is competitiveness and where there is teamwork. We know that the regulatory environment drives compliance to a very negative link. We try to move from compliance driven to more support and trust and ownership and discipline direction. Leadership, we've identified that the competency at an individual level, at a team level, and at a system level, together with leadership, we believe that is the one thing that will drive us forward. Independent of this image is that the changes need to drive our priorities. My clinical chairperson echo also the words of our manager that primary IT is at the base level. And I know that we are going to focus on other community based care and home based care areas. That is a key area of investment and focus of the year that we are focusing on. Thank you, Tia. So I'll ask the ministers to go on the next part of the presentation. Thank you.
In terms of the content of this presentation, our discussion, we will be speaking to the slides that we cover, speak to the person now as a discussion of
Thank you, Chairperson.
then regarding the presentation, we will be sharing with you what our staff members expected first of March, and then how we manage those delegations, and then giving next after that the context of our own community heritage services department, and that will encourage you to do this specific function. Next slide, please. So the slide is a table that depicts the staff at 31st of March, and there are different categories, starting with medical officers, right down to all the different categories in our department. The column expert indicates the number of people or individuals we have in our service with regard to those categories, and then also the total percentage of employees in that category, and the vacancy rate can be broken, vacancy rate is based on the number of vacant funded posts that we have, and also indicates the percentage of the personal budget that the different categories actually cover. So just to say, as you look at that if you look at nursing as a big core of our service, in terms of the data, about 40% of our staff complement is spent approximately 30.5% of our budget. If you look at the vacancy rate, it's particularly important to note that in the area of speciality nurses like trauma, that theater nurses that we have, area that of concern, and that we clearly have focused and we are focusing on. So this is really an indication of who we are and how many people we have in the different countries. Next slide, please. The whole of our staff planning is already indicated by the HOD and our minister. We are very proud to say we've had unqualified people in management for the past 12 years, and this year we have a team leader. And to say that it's about controls we put in place, but important to say that at a local level, that the people are making responsibility, and how we try to make sure we go back to basics and getting and doing the things right the first time around. We have positions across our department which assist and support and train our frontline staff to perform better. We have obviously there are a few challenges, and we are perfect, but we are working on it. So in this regard, the delegation for people management, the CEO and full delegation, it's important to say that we from different province, regional, we support the CEOs and institutional managers to exercise the delegation. Next slide, please. The next slide, six, and specifically, we should highlight the delegation side points. This is six. We are obviously within a whole range of delegation, but it's also important to say for this one. So for SMS members, the delegated authority at the executive level, with regards to the occupation specific presentation for SMS members, with response to our senior medical manager, the HOD that has the authority to approve. Family levels 11 to 12, it is people practices and administration, and at institutional level, it's the head of the institution that has the authority to appoint. At the family level 9 to 10, we have the DE, the Deputy Director of People Practice and Admin, and the others, and then the DE, People Management, Region, and Leadership level, that has the authority to approve. Levels 1 to 8, which is the Assistant Director of People Practice and the others, but also in our different regions and districts, they are the ones that approve. So we have this tool, we are dedicated to the tool and also that can and should and that is helpful in terms of our processes. We are proud to say that we have reduced the time we take to form the post because of the delegation that we provide, and also our processes. Next slide, I'm going to hand over the presentation to contextualize it.
I think there's our MD and the Secretary has said already the primary healthcare component we see as critical in line with our health data research strategy. The way in which we conceptualize the primary healthcare platform, we conceptualize it and actually see it as three distinct human medical services in the platform. We see that first as home and home-based care and intermediate care. Intermediate care refers to what we sometimes call sub-acute care, or where we provide also risk-based care to assist families
So we have a formal qualification,
increase level 1 of Bluetooth observing objects, to increase level 4 in the music of work, which has the whole work program, and you have to increase level 1, which was basic skills, so which is a basic skills program, training providers, so the external training providers, also looking to get it going forward, which I have a pop-up, very internal training of people development centers. So the idea is that we really try to encourage that people go out with a formal qualification. Also to show that the health and wellness teachers have flexibility to easily select a new community health qualification and increase skills free. So we are going to take a level 1 to 4 qualification to further make an individual come to us to support and to mentor and training the patients. So I show the back to Dr. Kennedy. Thank you, Sean. So maybe before I talk about our approach towards strengthening and the service platform, I should maybe say a few words about where we're coming from. This platform was largely a reaction platform, meaning that the community health workers, when they were working, they were referring to patients from the health facility to say, you know, patients are really having been to go and take their drugs, and then the community health worker will go and find the patient or the research to the home provider a specific service. And the way in which the NGOs will function with us, they will function with us based on COVID-19 priorities. So the NGO might say that their priority is connected to people, microphones, HIV, and TB. So through the whole approach of community and re-engineering and strengthening, also in line with the National Department approach of strengthening this platform, we then decided to move on to a proactive approach, where we say, yes, the reaction approach is important, but also in line with that, after 2030, promotion, prevention, promotion, and wellness, we needed to be more proactive and actually go into the home and see people before they come to us. And so what we have then done is that we have developed a phased approach in the first phase, which has started in 2015, we are in the stage at the moment, which is really developing the system. The first thing that we did is that we developed a policy that turned out to be very widely with the NGOs, because as you can imagine, we are asking NGOs to do things they haven't done before. And in addition, we are asking that you now have a geographic approach where before we might have multiple NGOs working in one geographic area. Now what we want to do is to have one NGO responsible for the geographic area and responsible for an integrated search, not just HIV/AIDS, which was something that they, was their strength, but now they are saying we would like to provide an integrated and a comprehensive approach. So it has taken us time to move from the old system into the new system. So that has been done, and the policy has been consulted, and our own minister was there with the consulting with the NGOs, and that was approved. Where we are at the moment now is that we have started going out in all our rural districts. As you know, we are largely in the province, 35% of our population lives in the rural district, and it's a little bit easier there, and also we don't have the complication of the city and the problems that we have in the metro. So in the rural district, as we speak right now, we are implementing this geographic approach and a proactive approach where geographic areas have been divided, not necessarily into wards, but into geographic areas that make sense. So in such a shape will be divided and be aligned to a primary healthcare facility, and we will know that within an area, the NGO, the union of NGOs responsible for multiple areas, but there will be a specific community health worker team. They're always going to be trees or in other areas, they're not going to trees because it's not safe for them to go alone. So then we will have a proactive approach where we are literally going from door to door, screening households, trying to identify a patient or community member that require health services and refer them to the health facility. And as Alex has said, we contract NGOs to also contract a professional nurse that would oversee that team. So the professional nurse, one of their responsibilities is to ensure that the patients that are referred to the health facility
impacted by the team as opposed to an opportunity had they arrived and treated. So, as I said, this is the three components that I was talking about earlier, primary healthcare, very much an integrated approach. So we are setting up the systems, even in the metro, where we are at the moment, is that we have now allocated different MCUs to specific geographic areas. Our core proposal this year was also for integrated service, so when the MCU comes in, they are not competent to provide a certain component of the package to collaborate with another one, but we will contract a specific MCU that is going to be responsible for it. So in the metro, we are also starting with the geographic approach, we are going, we are screening, and in the section of the system and learning the lessons from, you know, as we discover, it's also important to go slowly and shortly so that we have good impact. The next phase is we are going to be implementing contention and also registering. These are broad timelines because we might go quicker, we might go slower, and we are only moving obviously our approaches to get as quickly as possible. But this common condition service package that we have developed will obviously review it, and that when it says that by 2020 we will not change any contribution, and we will only have the funding to review after that and see if there's any change that is required. Our aim is to have the proactive, the reactive and proactive components of our policy rolled out to the system for all low-income geographic areas. And just to say, whatever criteria on said that 75% of our population are uninsured, but we didn't have to consider in terms of what we have defined as a dependent population. We've gone beyond that because we understand that just because we have medical aid does not mean that we may not require public services. We know that some people only have hospital cover. So in fact, what we've done, we've looked at the band of household income and have actually provided for up until households that have a household income of about 70,000 rand per annum, we say we want to cover 90% of all those households. And up to an income of about 153,000 per annum, we want to cover 75% for those households. For home community care, what you said, if you look at our current location, those 49% of households would be covered when we actually reach our destination. So when we say, again, we're talking about beyond just the one that I'm sure that is expected. And we're hoping that by 2030 we would have covered at least 35% of all those households that are in need. And in particular, because we do believe in this approach, we do believe that we will see that the outcomes, we do believe that we will use wellness and food prevention and promotion approach. So we will start seeing population outcomes. And we're hoping that at the end of our strategy period, which is 2030, we will have even population based outcomes that we will have.
My approach would be to just use the quality of our strategic approach of discussion on the prioritization and education was mentioned earlier that our UN 2030 is taking us beyond the infrastructure plan that we achieved in implementing and monitoring the then the issue about the IMF and what we are on the implementation of the infrastructure in the management system. Then we have to do the application due to the fact that we are dealing with different professionals that are extremely skeptical. And then we talk about the budget and the issue about the new systems put in place and pressure the capital on how to do the additional funding in the direction of the performance. Then share with you our different challenges and then we'll just show you some prioritization projects and some other just using each of the components. So starting with the first one, the outstanding approach actually is based on our 2014 healthcare 2030. We have started, we call it the carbon agenda, but actually we look at the infrastructure that is sustainable, that is environmental friendly, so we got to make low impact on the digital footprint. So in some of our projects we have try to experiment with new technology like some sustainable geothermal installation and reduce the consumption of electricity from Eskom. Then the issue is something that we are very keen on because how to see is that they need to be flexible, they need to be fundable, and they need to be changeable. So we have to take that in mind because when we build infrastructure, it's something that we build for the next 30, 40 years, even beyond, but this graph is to see the actual certification we need for to be able to render the service. Then the environment, and this is quite important, only to the patients, but not intimidating, but the patients and suffering, and for the staff, the physical, the economics, and the natural defense, connections, for example, the one issue. The last one is about our administration infrastructure in trying to put the risk of team design and construction, and talk about the standardization and also innovation in procurement systems and procurement strategies that we do in collaboration with the Italian Engineering and the Department of Transport. Next one is on infrastructure strategy. These are priorities that we have been in our craft the last 5 years. And the international plan we have here, which as you have mentioned before, is our housing infrastructure plan. We have said in 2006 that we had transferred from the Budapest to the province budget to the province, and all the other cities on the plan we have here. And we are quite strong plan to improve the leader in the infrastructure in France. We have Phoenix, Community Center, and Community Arts. Then the emergency center, the slides that were before showing the issue about violence and trauma and the incidents we had in the province. So we had the program to operate and extend most of our emergency center and hospital. Then the two-strategic unit, this is something that came up also in the last 3 or 4 years in relation to the issues of psychiatric patients that are coming to our district hospital. So each of these hospitals in the metro, also in the Luna, they need to care for certain patients. So this is a specific infrastructure requirement. So we have usually this project, the consumption project, that in relation to the psychiatric unit done in the Luna for this type of question. Then the maintenance, the focus on maintenance, I think that's what we spend on there, 30% or 35% of our budget on maintenance, and in our situation quite compliant. So we are one of our risks to look at the fact that all our procedures to be fire compliant, which is ongoing. We have a couple of changes in the regulation in the last 6 years. So our procedures are quite complicated ones that need to get upgraded. And then the issue about efficiency, I mentioned earlier, so how can we put the value for money in efficiency in the procurement of our infrastructure. And the first one, the IMS, we have a new structure that came up in the 1st of July 2016, International Treasury Structure Number 4. We are currently updating our IMS in relation to that. And in relation to the IMS, we have started in such a way that one implementation, that is the Department of Public Works, that is responsible for the infrastructure in relation to capital projects and in relation to what is the demand of capital and their shadow maintenance, or what they call planned maintenance. The Health Department is responsible for what is called day-to-day maintenance or routine maintenance, and then also for the maintenance. So as an infrastructure portfolio, we are responsible for the procurement, planning, procurement, and installation of health technology for those projects that are under the grant, the health procedure evaluation grant. Next. The capacitation, the grant, the National Health Organization grant, actually has allowed us to use some of the grant for capacitation. So since 2013-14, we have been using the grant in order to for the competition of the employees and for our staff in the environment. We have an ongoing issue and we have have expressions from everybody, like the position layer, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, but if you look at it, the list of the skills, the fancies, actually the sisters, because the same are another them are in engineering, so it's an ongoing issue for everybody. And what we have put in place from improving the strategy for the utilization of, for better utilization of our skills in the department is what we call the average for process for a model for maintenance, for the maintenance, routine maintenance, and grab technology. So about the children of GDO. We have one workshop at the moment in the city and two workshops within the for the engineering side. And what we want to see, how can we actually have scope that can improve in relation to efficiency, because we can use that as a technical people for doing technical, technical action and technical activities. And then, of course, to have a better outcome from the reducing the time for cost and delay. And then, of course, the issue about the economy scale. So if we have, for example, in the health technology, the single engineering workshop, is focusing on the pairs, is actually according to the timeline and the matches. This is something that we've been working on the last 2 years, and we haven't implemented yet, but we have moving towards that. Yes. The budget for last year, for this year is something like 850 million. Most of the budget is coming from grants, that's the Health Facility Evaluation Grant, which is several fire grants, so the projects are directed from the National Department of Health. And a small amount is from the structure from the provincial grant, it's 1 to 3. I need to mention that under the grant, under the infrastructure, we also pay for the ICT installation interchange from Kevin and other networking systems that are not much infrastructure related, but to be funded for the project to be completed when it's done. And under the health of his grant, we have the international technology component. At this point in time, we have below the table talk about the expenses at the end of June. The last column of the order is about 59 million, not meaning they are not overspent, but this is the amount of room that has been asking from last year to National Health. And then we got the approval at this interest, so this is why we are watching at the moment, but the plan is to expand the budget in accordance with the adopted budget, including the room. Next. The issue about the budget last year, we had an expenditure of 130 million. The main reason were of the issue related to the network project that was cancelled in 2014. And he was a member of the committee that actually, you know, this issue about contract of so much are considered outside our control, also public goods control. So at the end, we have transferred from the public goods that transferred the contract. So there were some issues to the new contractor and the implementation. So we have understanding, but all the amount of 112, we asked for 59 and we got 59 back. The budget spending and the budget is kind of updated on the first one is 26, so we are, this year we are quite confident that we will be able to spend the budget. What we have done was to improve our confidence in the spending budget. Is that we are managing a project, overcommitting project. So if we overcommit, we can also come to balance for some project not going according to the plan. And the first thing is outside our final control, contractual performance, and the requirements of this role. So it's something that we are, our strategy is overcommitting. Next one. The performance-based incentive grant. This year is a long process that we have to start in relation to June and we finish in relation to November, where we will know if we can get some additional funding based on our readiness to spend the budget. So this is something that is done in National Health together with National Treasury. And last year we got 109 million rand. This year we are asking over and above the baseline that We have to open about one of the reports, so we have made the only documentation available that is from the last region that comes to the fault and the UN in order to restore to pressure that very useful for the additional funding. Next one. On the district side, as I mentioned, we last year we had an expenditure for 112. So how do we, our risk forces understand this structure? So we release the communication factor and another discussion with them about one sheet of IMF and one also about IMF and also about IMA and also about quality information. So for the gates that are responsible for that are the business case on the gate 0 and 1 to the strategic list that is gate 3, we are trying to improve the quality of the information that they give to our implementation. And then we also would like to speed up the planning stage together again in partnership with our approach on achieving standardization so that we don't exceed the start from scratch for every project. And then of course there is ongoing issue about communication and keeping the staff upskill and on. On management tech, we have issues. So our certification are trying to be as robust as possible. So for example, we have removed the copper from all our new facilities, so there is no temptation to guarantee and finally receive copper. One of these projects is in on our certification for the last 3 years too. So we are also looking at the design of the facilities in order to improve security. One example is in Charleston, where if you go to the hospital, you go to the different level of security, and you then go to inside the hospital from outside out. So it's actually the security, and you don't realize the security anymore, the security at the initial, you actually have a good level of different level of security. Then five outlets, we have a few instances where we have fires in some clinics, one last year, and we have some other issues. We have actually been dealing with the aging facility. We have one also, for example, like a summer center that yesterday was 154 buildings. So it's a very old disease, and the summership, for example, is in the past, and there's another one in the library, and the older one locked up here. So we have to deal with this issue about the upgrading facility from electrical installation, mechanical installation, but also to look at the issue about energy, and then the issue about the carbon climate. So that's something that we are in a course of some trial, is to be knowing what to do in case of the standard action. Next one. On challenges, I just, look at the issue, like the rest of the department, the measure that one of the main issues that last year in November, December was when the dollar and when the euro rate of exchange that dramatically increased, that means that all our imported goods, and when I talk about imported goods, but we actually get to deal with imported goods, like issues like this, flowing, and other specializations like technology, most of our technology is actually imported. We have to deal with the institution. We find more or less the buying power of the department on the health technology side. One institution that is 5% due to the rand, dollar, and euro exchange rate. And the other challenge is about the infrastructure. How do you get more with less? So less people, maybe more skilled people, but how do you improve the humans from the NGO to the organization to the demand that is the commission got? Then on the other side, we need to mention some difficulties we have on the understanding some disalignment from the DORA grant, the condition put on the DORA framework. Then the integration, I need to mention that the National Health Service is a system called TPO. In Latvia, a new system came from Italy called IRM, that is for the reporting model for infrastructure for delivery. For expenditure, but a lot of other information are also needs to be added there. And the two systems are not integrated. So for the last year, we have to put all the same information in the two different systems, we are not talking to staff. So we
did a lot of work together with nationalities, a lot of work together with the national treasury. We have been making a lot of progress in the implementation of the integrations in this position. Not to 100% completed yet, because I've been quite a big cross, but what is meant to challenge for the heavy cross. And then the issue about CSD, this mentioned that the procurement of infrastructure according to the CSD regulation in Germany fixing up the threshold for the non-procurement on a given credit to 30,000 rand. So in other countries, if you buy something related to infrastructure below 30,000, you can use the normal good and fair procurement. But what about the business? So now we the priority projects, I listed some of them. The first column is talking about the program, or the sub-program. A1 is the primary and the second column is project and design discussion, and then the other column is project design. I didn't leave all the variations in design, because they are quite long list, but if anyone has more detailed information, I'm more than what actually so far. Then the on-site teaching guide, that is actually the theme to us that we have put on the planning for the horizon for us. Then the planning to us actually in Sweden, actually, so also that are not new on the website, but they are planning. They should mention that we have finalized the mentor of the plan, and we now know about the footprint of a new hospital platform for the services. And we would like to relate to the new level hospital, the business case of the international health approval. The new pre-contained regional hospital is a new name, but it was the original hospital, which was hospital. That, as you know, was close to a couple of years ago. The site is not available anymore because it's the hospital is here from 184, that was originally pre-contained. So, GMUSET to 550. And then targeted at the same time the one of our old hospital is actually targeted, and target is started the disability study a couple of years ago to assess the disability to go to the project. Project is costing a training target of costing about 10 million rand, that is beyond our allocation. So we are looking at this as a kind of public partnership. The hospital is going to be relocated in Porto and we started. The center hospital is going to share in fact the east at the moment for 1,100 beds, while the new regional hospital that is listed here is going to be 550, is going to be in the area closer to the population beach. So that is the plan to rebalance the discounter and to reduce the entire. Then the cabinet of the one, as you mentioned, our members of people do not be sitting at the CD in pressure food to sleep, and we would like to relocate it to build the 30 units of design warehouse modern city for the, in the next few years on the side of the hospital. Okay, the next are two of the facilities that we completed in the last 3 years. So one is the Manus community in the center. This is one of the facilities where we can see the issue of the hardest. Next one is the time the moon is not that far from here, and it's also quite big one, it's a museum center, so it's a sense to our facility, including the National Center and the MOU, so it's something like 2,500 square meters, and it's also quite been open recently, and it's quite successful design. Again, it's a practice of the leadership of
quite a few very unique positions located on the slope. So the study is quite challenging, so much that the wind and heritage is on the roof of the dimension center, if there was no space on the ground. The next one is the Sydney Way, Delft on Cape Town. This one was completed at the end of last year and also recently opened. This is a quite unique landmark in the area, the new area of Cape Town, the new Arsenal development, and this is a new facility. They also have the site close by the high end from the city town in order to do future expansion among the regional parks in additional parks. The next one, it's a quite interesting design. This is from New Penny. New Penny is in the town, which is called Park Blue Gulch in that area. Where actually what we did, we built a warehouse and then we put inside the containers. The reason why we did it is because it was a local project. The existing facility was actually falling apart and was a city facility. So we, as the health and the infrastructure, we had the challenge from the service, which I needed in the facility as soon as possible. So 18 months was the set target for the project. We got a piece of land from the city of town. It's not our land, it's in Ranger. And the plan is that we built this warehouse and then we tried to put to this container, the ship container, that has been converted to the construction room of the office or toilet. So each of us got different nationalities. And I think it's important that I have like 50 containers, which is quite a big facility. And the fact is, when we will when we will build the final instrument in 3 years' time, so the facility will come with the 10 years' time, we will dismantle these containers and we will leave the warehouse that become some sort of scope holder for the community that is coming. That is the agreement that we have inside the city. I also mentioned that the containers should not be done with you because this kind of technology was also used for the new project that also was quite off the spot for the health center. So we did that system. The warehouse was then there, so we did the warehouse in the front, the land, we put the containers and then the front and then the new frame. And the last one that I want to show you is one of our proud old ladies. That is part of the administration block, so it's older building, it's more than 120 years old, and going through a phase system, not much phase system, major application, still in phase 2 at the moment, but the front of the hospital is now upgraded with the electrical system, with the now universal accessibility, because also has a lift that was not lift. And it's got the most fantastic passive communication that I have seen in my lab. So we don't need that in the kind of communication that the passive communication that the machine that we can run in the fourth book. And now we will be the second phase. The utilization of the building at the moment is for the hospital, and the department is a private hospital, and it's for the, for all the application, but also for the support service. We don't have the fashion at the moment, but the plan is to upgrade the record of the and the that's it. Thank you.
Thank you,
good morning. I'm going to just go through the order of my presentation. I'll first give you a brief overview of the AG report for 2015-16. Thereafter, I'd like to address a key financial management issue of irregular expenditure. And then the next two items were items emphasized in the audited general report, namely accrued departmental revenue contingent liability. So we can move to the brief overview of the AG report. As mentioned by our manager, the department received a 12 consecutive unqualified audit opinion. It was also seen that we had no material findings, which meant that from a financial statement perspective, we achieved a clean audit. Our recurring irregular expenditure, which has been one of the key stumbling blocks to achieving the clean status, was also well at the overall level. The AG made the following emphasis of matters, mainly accrued departmental revenue. It highlights the fact that we had a material write-off and there was also a significant material impairment. It also emphasized the fact that we had material contingent liabilities in respect of medical negligence claims. I'll just, before we go on, like to highlight that interest on matters have no impact on our audit opinion. We can move on to regular expenses. It's pleasing to report that our regular expenses for 2015 reduced to 7.3 million from 24.4 million in the prior year. If we drill down on this, this equates to a 56% reduction in number of incidences from 540 to 234. As mentioned, our recurring regular expenditure was at a trivial level. This equates to just 75 incidents totaling 1.8 million rands. What we would like to highlight or focus on is the trivial threshold that the AG applies in this area, mainly, which equates to 1.1 million, which we calculate as 1% or 1% of our total expenditure budget. We find this is an extremely challenging tolerance table, especially if you take into account the complexity of health departments, the decentralized nature, and just the volume of transactions that we do in a year. I've just highlighted two of our key source systems. For instance, Logos, in 2015, we did 192,000 transactions. NetSense, which relates to our pharmaceutical transactions, was 527,000 transactions. So, if you look at our 75 incidents of recurring irregular expenditure, it is one least in context of the sort of transactions we do in a financial year. Now, moving to the next slide, accrued departmental revenue. The third area emphasized by the Auditor General was that we had 219 million rand write-off. Now, a key driver here is the conflict between the writing of our costs and the fact that we apply an outdated needs test. The agency in its introductory remarks highlighted the fact that 75% of the population is uninsured. Now, if you drill down into that uninsured population, a particular category is the H3 category, which accounts for 38% of that 200 million rand write-off. H3s are liable for full service costs at our institutions. And what a person causes an H3 category, if they are individual and income is about 6,000 rand per month or more, or if it's a household with a combined income of 8,330 rand per month. Taking into account that you've got the high cost of medical care, this does create the untenable situation that once we've treated these patients for a significant incident, they then have the stress of the financial burden on them. I will highlight that all the last written off are handed over to our debt collector, and we do make small recoveries in this area, but still meaningful. In the current period, 25.6 million rand was recovered from previous writers. Next slide, the other emphasis on accrued departmental revenue was the 228 million rand impairment. The rise of this 49% related to road accident fund claims. This has been a particularly challenging area for the department and also other provincial health departments. Pre the RLS decentralization, 88 million rand is still outstanding, and 7 million rand of this is 3 years old. In some cases, it seems that with the move from these decentralized bodies, that some of our CAD documentation has been misplaced. Post RLS decentralization, we're very pleased that we did receive 160 million rand in the current period from the RLS. But what is a bit concerning that only 7% of our average amount of claim are being settled. So this is creating a further backlog that is just adding to our arrear accrued departmental revenue. If we could then move on to the next slide on contingent liabilities. The AG emphasized the fact that we had 24 million rand contingent liability of this material. The majority relates to our medical negligence claims of 182 million. But just to give you some context to better interpret this figure, it's good governance that we are reporting this figure. but only 70-75% of payments made it, 70% to 75% of payments are made on the pension. So that 182 million is that remaining 30-35%. 182 million is a worst case scenario. Historically, the government has assured 24% of the original amount claimed against us, and over the past 2 years, we averaged, the average claim we stand have been in the region of 25 million. Claim settlement also takes 3 to 5 years, so I hope that gives you a better idea of how to interpret the figure there of 182 million.
All of them. organizations for laundering and security services. We're also preparing for homeless people centrally, which are not on the national contracts. We've established the monitoring working groups to identify through market analysis what is the best process of procuring certain items. And then as far as infrastructure delivery and monitoring is concerned, Dr. Delvin Tulevi, it was spoken of, I'm not going to repeat that, but our main responsibility is for routine day-to-day and emergency maintenance. Can you give me a look at the supply chain management instructions? We implemented the water management plan and procurement plans. As I said, mainly on the list of medical and surgical items and ice cream items at this point in time. This is a major process, and we've got lots of items. As I've already indicated, 318,000 ICMs, and I think those that we've got on contract is not even close to 50% of those deals. We've implemented the seasonal structure, and that is the certification committee, the evaluation committee, the adjudication committee. But our structures are mostly geared towards medical and hospital equipment and those contracts that we put into place. When we start with transitional contracts, we try and consider as many of the transitional contracts centrally to make it easier for our department investigators to determine what is required and to place an order. We've introduced what we call essential drug lists and essential supply lists so that we concentrate on those items which are required at the institutions. And we try and eliminate as far as possible duplication items, and we try and eliminate as far as possible to take over the lives of certain people in our hospitals. We can introduce certification likely for equipment, security, cleaning, and so forth. Contract registers have been introduced on what we call SharePoint, which is a centralized database where we track the various contracts, and also get an indicator when they are signing so that we can obviously prepare for new contracts. Contracts are managed at various levels. Contracts introduce that, for example, a security contract, introduce that at the hospital, won't be managed in institution. We will not be able to do that at this particular central level. We've got regular training interventions to just introduce what we call e-learning, and that is e-learning for professional commitments and also on the other officer system. So the person can enter the e-learning, and then through a couple of months, they're in the process of completely understanding the account of the system. We've introduced various order procurement templates, not just procurement templates on the main, saving gross in terms of our key orders. Procurement templates is a tool that takes the financial or the procurement function through a process of where the position starts right through to the implementation committee approval. We've introduced local brochures, and we are adding brochures looking at the technical development regulations as a guide to the development and transformation through procurement. The governance chairperson, I think the important thing with the governance is about the site, providing internal controls. I've just spoken about procurement templates. The procurement templates allow us a step-by-step decision on buying. Secondly, the procurement committees, we witness the specifications, we've got a committee that evaluates and makes the recommendations to the adjudication committee with final awards are made to make sure that the supply chain process is the process that we apply correctly and that the award at the end of the day is fair and is equitable. The government officer systems validation, and together with that, we've also introduced SOPs. We find that if our staff do not understand the handbook, that we then craft an SOP and make that SOP available as an agenda to the handbook. And then, also after the procurement process has been concluded, we've got what we call the evolved internal control units. Well, they will then draw the payment voucher, and they will come back and order from the payment voucher to ensure as a final check that all the processes have been concluded effectively. And actually, it's a very good thing to determine what extent we are working according to our processes, but also then to determine what extent training is required. Whilst the chairperson's recommendations and what we require is we require an integrated financial management system. We call that built something that the property knowledge of in this problem site, and he continues to this point in time, he's struggling something like that, he's fishing, and he's going to use the same for someone from content, and I'm sure everybody will agree that you don't have any distribution in the some of the most factors on that project. The links between the central supply database and the mission verify database are manual, this needs to be implemented. Meaning that we need to strengthen contract management at national level, at commercial level, and also at institutional levels. Our sourcing pipeline, also that we have a better integration with our colleagues in national. We need to know what will be through centrally, by national, and what will be as well as well as commercial responsibility. Our systems will provide controls for system device for reporting of assets, configurability, control sector, user requirement, and we need to report the printing. That requirement is perhaps and associated based on the work. That means that chemical fields will be counted and accounted for on a monthly basis, being in the past with that engine, which really also carries a major burden to our printing stuff. Thank you very much.
The presentation is on the progress and the challenges for the IDF Clinic Initiative. We will just very briefly touch on our progress, what the state is, outcomes, the education related to others, and some of the other continuing norms as well. Just to indicate to the data question, they formally adopted the IDF Clinic Initiative in April 2016. So that's a couple months ago. So we had some training by National Department of Health on the software in February, both in the group and the ISM. We kicked off on the 1st of April, and from April to date, we have assessed 257 out of 300 doctors that we should say this determination. We had a workshop in June and April to look at these results. Also, the rule of effective work was headed by our colleagues nationally. Just to make sure that we only at the first step of self-assessment, which only follows through with all the other things. So the further step, which is the perfect team, actually, identifying people, taking the assessments, and then peer review. Those things are all planned for us. And by the end of February, we'll be quite clear we'll be there. So what the status is by the end of March next year. So that's where we are. It is also that information today that this session we had and also the session from two new sessions to integrate our study. So those of you think of the outcomes here, I think this might be shared with you before. 1,382 tablets in South Africa. 40 clinics have been achieved ICT status. That is still in the college of education in. We have two here. Platinum, sorry, it's a two platinum, the gold and the copper, and then 21 gold and silver. Our results are not fixed on those national costs yet. So for our self-assessment, we have two platinum, which was Cape Town and Central Peru. But these months are there, the ones are there to be added on to national payments. So we will see which get results on this under March this year. What we do have is our outcomes are between 27 facilities that is designed for the determination. So of the elements, 56 were assessed as yes, 31 as no, and 30 as positive, which is very comparable to what we find over the national average across all the other provinces. And the outcomes that are distributed in Cape Town, 128 of 1%, 94%, Kedwana's 94%, Central Peru 69, 67%, Eden, we have 53%, and Oberg 9-19, and West of 69, 45%. Central Peru is done based on the South System, the Pedestrian Defense, at 9, so the 2009%. So I'm going to go too much detail on this dialogue to the bottom. That in our self-assessments, the components listed are concern. So things like the annual service regulation, medicine supplies, infrastructure information, communication, district support, and policy support. So these are the components of concern that comes out of the provincial series. And So if you take all of those together, we've done the best in information management in the Avon. So those are the ones where the green bar is flipped to the right. And we've done worse in partners and stakeholders in the infrastructure. So the green bars aren't clear. So the main challenge for us is getting the relationship between the IPA and the national standards and the certifications and the alignment between the two regions. Specifically with the key facilities like quality development, annual national core standards services. And then we know that the national core standards services are open to staff hospitals and the new draft commission on which we have commented against the national requirement. There are some of the NGOs and non-critical acts added in the evidence. So some evidence doesn't give about very small things. At least some evidence has to be possible to comply with. So those are some of the things that we need to get international teams work with it. And connectivity in some of these elements is like a catching challenge. This is like an update system real time when we catch the things. And those two person identified to assist us with this sort of thing. It's a team of people international. So we've already discussed with the design to how we actually engage and work with this team that they're bringing new elements. So the building marks is that the line in the service has been very good. It's developed very quickly in a relatively short time, but the line is actually very good. The process has been also good in a couple of months. It started basically a year after the others, and we have catch up. And we have obviously received a very thankful case of cooperation from the National Department, certainly from the Office of the Secretary and also now the next time over. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chief Minister, for that coverage and school presentation. I would like to acknowledge the CFO and the one who brought this morning, but the CEO will be joining us in this great chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We will head to the
We are from the Biala community of Forum.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very sorry for being late. I'm just going to have to see you over the Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Egan Zumuni. I'm a member of the Biala Community Health Forum.
Thank you very much,
that as a legacy function there are things.
contribute on that basis to the problems. Demand for the system, basically. So, can you tell us how you resolve that question? Why you propose to resolve the question? Because it's unfunded mandate, I suppose, in this government.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would first start by appreciating the presentation and also appreciate the current of some 5-5 colleagues and the team of different institutions hoping that the province will keep on over the page. However, there are issues that we want to raise with them. The first one is with regard to the arrangement with the MPOs managing the sea conditions workers. I wanted to check with the provinces to whether there is this buy-in from those communities. Why is the department not handling the natural research? Are they challenged if they do that? Are there also no financial implications if they are using the MPOs and not dealing with the research? Here, I also want to check with the department if the community as well as are having benefits, if they do. What kind of benefits and how are they being managed to ensure that such benefits are really reaching where they're supposed to be going, being the employees. I'm having an issue also depending on infrastructure on the slide where they indicated capacity. With regard to the strategy of build environment engineers and the health technologies. You indicated there are very scarce. I wanted to know from you if you having a strategy in place to make sure that you acquire such scarce resources. And lastly, Chair on IDG, I wanted to take care of the department there, the reasons why you only adopted the program after 3 years of its launching. Can you share with us why is there no specific person identified to assist the program? Maybe it's the national can assist us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the delegation and presentation. I just have a few questions. We'd like to give you the human resources issues. One of the issues is there was a shift that was made to use the number of hours that interns to perform services in 2024. Now, I have been interned myself for some time, but I just think that the users will be jubilant about the support because sitting there after the 24 hours of 2050, those of us who work in cold cancer, so it's thinking. Another thing, time is not performing to this, and obviously patients would want inclusive healthcare and other women in the same manner. But of course, the counter, the challenge is then the gap potentially that we've created in terms of that particular resource. And so, just if you can give us assurance as a committee that in fact that gap will be addressed appropriately, we appreciate that. The second question is the finance, there's an issue on the legal tax. And the amount from multiple publications are 182 million figure. But it's sort of a cause for concern. And so the question I have is what has been done to mitigate that? Particularly what has been done to deal with the patient complaints, maybe the organization system. I'm not too sure what you think. That is not what plans you have to intervene to reduce that amount of further. And then question one of my colleague before me, the patient on the opioids. Particularly looking at even, I think it was even vegetables that had 33% and 25% expected in terms of performance, which is concerning. We were over 100%, 10%, 94%, so there's a gap. So we can drill down and just know what are the issues that we can even and the vegetables that prevent from actually achieving the type of performance in other areas. And then lastly, just a broader question. Health doesn't obviously just engage and fit the way our services are delivered. And so we've delivered, I think, a lot of national level around social determinants and so something like that as a provincial level. How do you look at the social determinants? How do you organize ecosystems and efficiencies that bring your benefits forward for our services? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Chair. Let me start off by thanking our colleagues for the very important presentation. I've got about 72 questions, so I'm going to be done in this case. Let me start off by one very common question for me that's meant to be brought up here, which could be asked to be, is an understanding that there will be no more temporary healthcare workers in the country that will be converted. That announcement was made by the minister and the president of the country. And our understanding is that anyone working for over 3 months at temporary work will not be converted to permanent. That was the understanding and that was announced. So I'd like to know how far the Western will reflect on the Eastern State of the Fed and they have started the process, but not being sufficient, but I just want an update on that. So that we will see exactly where we are. The other thing is that when we talk about the relationship of the relationship, I think that is where we need to go. What is your department doing with regards to all other relevant departments, patient education, water, sanitation, trade and industry, social development in terms of educating people from a health perspective? You know, the Western Cape particularly, and I don't want to raise this issue, unfortunately, but the issue of alcohol is a very serious problem in our view. And I think we all know that alcohol starts with this thing and becomes a syndrome, from what I've understood. And that is all started in the farms many years ago when workers inhaled alcohol rather than being paid in the form of money. And that has led from generations to generations of a serious problem. So I want to know what role are you playing in trying to advertise media education for out there and get the message across, because remember that impact on health, all these impact on health, because you talk about HIV, I'm sure you know what is the socioeconomic condition, I unemployment rate. So I wonder what role you're playing in coordinating, because the minister talks about oral hygiene, washing your hands in schools, are these having in all that schools, what role you are playing in the others to make sure that at some stage we can reduce the dependence on employment rather than working on the issue of prevention. You know, I must tell you that on paper everything looks good. But unfortunately, my experience tells me that it is not the case. A lot of our clinics, may I tell you, I don't know if you're aware that the Western Cape was declared as a district at one of the two worst diagnostic clinics in the country. And maybe you need to look at that and ask why that is the case, and what it is so that the kind of test those challenges. We agree and we're going to get the case makers of that. The worst run district is in the country. That was important. Anyway. But let me tell you what is that saying that. In some of my own personal experience, and I can tell you, I'm here in Congo, it was being kind of bad. Go there and see what is the state of healthcare service and how many people get sent away from it. Try and get through to the clinic, the day hospital, the day clinic, and make sure to train and see what are the problems you're experiencing. Go through the scheme, the men, people now understand it, when they go through the scheme, they're going to die. And I had to go there a few weeks ago because of the serious challenges that we experienced with some patients. And fortunately, I must give credit to the agencies for the superintendent, who was very good at putting the rest of the book, but for the clinicians that the people attend, and then wait for the patients. The attitude of some of the doctors is shocking. But fortunately, they were addressed, of course, due to the superintendent and came to the rescue. You know, in my understanding, an unqualified order does not equate to a quality service. Unfortunately. How you do your books, what you tell them, is what they are telling. Because unqualified orders are based on a few principles, a few boxes that you think of. I'm not even concerned with that, you know, setting. And I'm not, let me also thank you for the way you run your financial affairs, and I think it's a job well done, it's not that. But when you convert that sometimes to service on the ground in Pretoria, I'm not saying it's happening anywhere at all. There are many, many good workers being done in various parts challenges where he comes around with people that are easy to use. I mean, like I think would have written after the high ones been to say in Kai, I thought call for personal understanding and it was shocking. Shocking conditions, not all over, almost all over, no toilets functioning, no water for 7 to 9 hours. How many is 20 persons? So, you know, there are problems on the ground which I think we need to take that good governance financially and make sure that that service is in place. So that is a special case. The other question I had that over 500 employees in the Western Cape have been found to be either corrupt, maladministration, and so how many of them fall under the Department of Justice in government? Over 500 have been found. So if you could just come here. I see that you hand over your debts after you write them off to take for the system. It's very possible to be using in handing over so we could get for the system. Are you concerned as well that we need to collect money, but also people are living on the shopping condition to buy an employment agency? If you can just tell us about one for one we can do. The other thing is
the court, and Standard, Thank you.
and you are also any concept of inadequacy is a concept that the children are going to be able to adequate to catch that. So when a tech education was he or she comfortable, she was very sensitive, she was very kind, very curious, attitude and whatever. And now, everyone is unless you are, and it's making you understand, you are saying you have conditions already that are self-respect. And I'm very impressed. Secondly, is that you will understand that communities they do come here, and unfortunately, as the rules of calling, they are not for us, but we do have a right to submit their questions to the officials. The second question that I would like to submit is you need to comment on the research. The question that says, why is he some offered to put on the hand to make CAC and an open to the country? Our understanding is that CAC is an important of the country of Asia. And the impact of that, and how it is affected on the if they are under I'm just cheating and standing in number of them. But it's also an area about response to impact. Thank you. about going to the small church. What is small church? In addition, some areas are truly impossible to convey with. Why do you see it as a thing? You are in the hospital. You are in the hospital. My impression is that when there is a program, which is a mission program, you are in some trouble of that, and therefore, it is that point which is making to deliver the issue of the thing.
Thank you. by taking these states on the constitution, you send us to share your data, and they have done this in a concrete fashion between the commons and also the national level. And clearly, in terms of national health care, the chapter in terms of commons. And also in the context of the old National Health Act of 1977, which has never been sold as a promise. One of the advantages for the Western case that adults are not doing have much of those. We have four academic institutions, two medical schools in one province in the metro, which almost represent their staff, they are also employees of the Department of Health. So we make use of evidence base, and we keep on generating, but we make evidence base and for the disease. It's not the first time that a Western came to the College of Health and doing things in 31 that are supposed to do. For example, the TFGCT, Prevention Smart Traffic and Transmission, we are able to transfer at a time, after the time that it ended up in the world, throughout the country. We could, for example, the NHI, specifically the social project, we do it differently compared to other countries. We want to strengthen the future country so that the doctors and the doctors become part of the whole of the country, that they are not the kind of outside. Look at the specialist team, the two specialist teams. We are doing completely different. Those one to strengthen the competitiveness level. And also for the specialists to provide support to the teachers and also the better. In terms of the substitute, we have substitutes so that we can make a strength not only for the evidence, but also the health sector, but needs the whole society in terms of the relevant of strength in the substitute. So even the substitute in conjunction where we have the same model as the municipality. We can make, for example of the Eden district. You can get substitutes in the municipality, like Mosulby, Thursday, George, all of those. They are a substitute. Within each substitute, there is a hospital. And then within the substitute manager becomes the CEO of the hospital. And then that can be responsible for the whole of the services, including primary health care. And we are the only problem where we find that the district hospital works together with the chief. So it's not like where the primary health care team is that good, they are out. They are not in the commission, they are not in the management. The issue of the central government and the corporate government in order to render a coherent and shared services. So this is not the key that I think is what I'm trying to explain. Within the metro, metro is divided into substructures, we call them in terms of eight, and then by four, and about four, and according to the sub-functions. Some of the municipal metros do not get sub-functions. But for us, we have a combination of tools. We want to make it better and take the data that we need to approach according to health society in order to serve the health services. That's why we need to have to do it as well. We work with the mayors and all of those, also the health and the core health. We did a district level and the representation of these within the district health. So the topic is already in the presentation. Now, in terms of the community health worker, the questions are very different. A clinic or a community center often doesn't service one ward. You could have a population of four wards, around about 9,000 population. So it makes sense that we have to study according to the geographic of the ward. So if you only focus on the ward base, it means that we'll end up not having this coherent setting the whole of that system. That's the way we work the statistics. Because those program workers are attached to a real health facility so that they could be able to defend, go to the household, do the exams, teach or whatever, and then the referral, and connect to the primary health care. And then when it comes to such a health forum, which is a combination of the corporate society, the counselor, etc., with the such a in terms of the state, which is under government, and also with the program workers. Part of the whole of the so it starts from there, it goes up to the level of the district, and then comes to the level of the province, which is in terms of that part where I So why are you working? Why are you working based on the constitution, the way that I have already answered to that is the different teams, it is any time they never be in terms of being the way that other country. But that's going to itself the question that we raise. Same applies, I mean, the question is why are you thinking now? Again, remember, what you want to do all of us in the country to do whether the country is that's one improving the health outcome. The question is the responsibility. The question is, now that you have started late and are approaching the way of coaching, how does this impact on the health outcome? How does the health outcome come back from the field? We find that they are stuck at our central and central and central and central and central. I'm going to say that it's not a fact, but we know that we do in some of the areas, in some of the classes, if we find that there are still challenges. So we are not sure if we can, we are not there yet, but we are working in terms of certain technologies. Again, the issue is not about the people that are going to be required, but the issue of creating that we cannot have so many 800 indicators for this, also for guidability, there's another indicator for the health programs, also the health plan, way under the decision. And then we have to put all these now in the hands of a community manager, a level in all the right areas, at the clinic, the testing rate, the clinic standards, practitioner, which is another thing that we've done in the testing. Every clinic, the double clinic standards, practitioners, the testing, but for the additional qualification, for all the professional skills. Now, for that, I think we have to do all of this in addition to the other. But that means that in the question you ask us, how do you see that number reduce the waiting time and all of this? It's because we've been a trendsetter where we're putting things in place, like the patient satisfaction survey is still going to go, continue in terms of that, the issue of testing, the complaints management system, the issue of the reducing the waiting time, to the cost of testing, the unit, and all of those. So it doesn't mean that what's not being done to improve the quality of care that you get in data. One of the pillars of the healthcare certification is about patients that are paired with the technical quality. Again, the issue of the health tools. When we talk about the primary healthcare, two major pillars in primary healthcare, the group participation and the intersectional collaboration. And this civil society is part of that intersectional collaboration. In each and every level of the nation, the churches, the NGOs, so you have to dismiss the NGOs and not call them private. The way we work with the NHI, the general question of private, so what is now you want to divorce the NGOs? Yes, I say that we want to strengthen the primary healthcare. And in good terms of the national NHI treatment, it talks a lot about muscular collaboration, where you buy in from the different services. Some of the NGOs based in there, it is part of, and you know that previously, most of the health cycle education, it was offered to the missionaries and also the NGOs and other groups. So these people have been giving respect to us, but what is important for us, the state to create an enabling environment so that all the stakeholders could be able to function very doctors to want to improve the health outcome. That's why we put schools in place to see to it that how they report and at the same time the information so that everything moves coordinated in terms of all system strengths and also their challenges. And the issue about, I think there are some of the things that you answered to say, like this, the metro being the word. And we think that should call our last skills as a web city, I don't know if you call it as well. As far as I know, some of these web issues that have already been quoted. The outside result, the paper call, and all of those. Remember, I used to be part of the National Department and I've seen all the work in terms of the getting part of the so by the time I mentioned the services, I will have this to bring all of those. Say that they have the issues where that should quote, other educated areas were not present. And also, I think we cannot dismiss the experience of one or two people about our country. If there is a lot of rules on the gene is high in China, it doesn't tell you that they're so very better. We cannot say, look at our health facilities, we are performing far better, look at our audit, less quality, look at our biggest rates, far better than the rest of the country. We cannot, because we have that we need quality audits. We expect that we know much of the increase. Why should they expose? It might be less rules of the professionals, it might be engaging, then we can That's why when you talk to ordinary people, you don't use what was told. That's why people say that. Bring the evidence, bring the information, so that we can make use of it. That's why the complex management system, very specific, other than the hotline, the SMS, the call, the email, plus now we can choose that with the independent complaints committee, rather than also we put it as part of the performance of the people, so that they were able to do all the things that they don't have for. Actually, you can be able to see in terms of how many complaints they receive, and what's the type of work of the policy, about the different things they go through. So we put it as part of all of those kind of things. And in addition to that, with the health committee and the hospital board, we are putting a capacity now so that with the community management, it's not about that taking the strategy for training or whatever, but they must also form part of this. And all of these discussions are also happening at the staff discussion forum so that really you have a stage here. The next part we call it Lisa. I think we are really sure about why we should again we are part of something. It takes an end for incentive, spend so much on the education team. Therefore, we have to compare them with all other problems. What is happening? And therefore, we have to learn in terms of how we are capable of working with others. Meaning that we see what is certain than the average. So although for us, we never had any of our education, we don't compare to others, we don't hire, but our age is on that. Again, the issue that we can take is quite here. So we have to see to that we've been appointed, we work at the end, we don't want to serve an education, it's better than that they come to the school. But again, the issue of going back up on the question of very important to my topic, the issue of going back is find that some patients and families, they just need an opportunity to be cared. It's not for them setting that power soon. It's about giving them an opportunity so that I can share my story, or probably for enclosure that can happen. So that's why as part of the CEO and within the facility, they that team where they listen to the issues in the boardroom and they take it up to that level. So that, and we don't take the mission to the school, it's a right to have to sue all of them. And we have taken that development of this mission of the dialogue. The issue of our environment is not facing them. I think also my first question, remember when we started early in the late 80s and we did that across the country, we started as an HIV volunteer and what those schools and NGOs were doing. Those kind of people are still within our society. And some of them, they are still not in full-time employment. So you talk about the re-engineering of TV, choose about who more about the previous cases, which is part of the national services that I have in 2010. Everybody, those kinds of groups also function at the same time. You look across the country, some of them, they are still within the system, but they are not fully employed. So the question is, when you want to start something to this country, that's why we are bringing the last National Health Council and the minister, where he indicated that now we have to approach the national service, we have a grant. But of course, we do accept that the issue of the contract worker is still a important part of the world. So the fire is stretched out and make a point that they still are part of the system. So that's the entry point. And actually, they are the voices of the community. But you need at the level of the national center for the grant. But in the program, you can make it through as part of the part of it. But what I'm saying is that you cannot just start starting from that level for those who come in and leave all others behind. Because they are there, others are counselors, they can be counselors, others are also volunteers, or those that come attached to the NGOs. So it's important to look at the whole of this, and then you do the skills, which is what we are also going through the HR, that you have to look into the HR skills. So one of the challenges that has been faced where they have tried to implement some part of the Africa, the issue of the HR skills. So that you can see that in this country, or in this kind of area, you have so many specialists, doctors, so many specialists, so many generalists, and also so many professionals like that. It needs to be done across also to come up with a area pathway for them. So it's not enough that you come with level 5 to level 5 of that. So you have to look at that. So we should have all these conversations, even with the speaker, the other speaker, so that we can have all of them. So that's why we had a challenge to look in terms of how we can make a point that we send them to have to think, but at the same time, then also to put them in the fourth. And we have, I forgot, it's pretty well. Taking into some of the experience we have, remember, not as part of the international progressive criminal academic network of Iron Cross. He was there, he returned, defending and human studies at the national about the health and safety trust in terms of what works, what it is. So the public made the point that they look like a chicken,
for a person to work for
obtain obtain continuously in this image. So the point is for failure of our concern and for the safety of the patient here, we use this quality negotiation of synthetic neuromuscular level. In some of these measures, for the trial, we say that by the first of January, I think that everything is supposed to be mentioned. Currently now, they are around the ship, they are Western, and also some of them are going to change the city, they were around that golden era. So there's also the association in summer, Julanta also, who were together around. So the issue of the staff is that this could have been to do something. If you look at the issue of the safety in terms of our facility, we can hear it here and say that they are in the patient in Bali or where they are there. It's one of the issues that we need to address. I think let me leave it there for the others, but technically, it's sort of a concept for the others. But I would really, really love to get the information, whether the allegations about culture, Susan, Katie, all of those. These are things that really are changing. But we need to have some kind of a table so that we can use the table to follow up on things. That is why it's a contingent liability in terms of financial report also. and then project discussion is something that's coming your way, so I'm way later on seeing also the court that you are, not sure exactly what the amount is, that's why you call it in such a way in the document, the financial report. But to come to your particular question, Honourable Chair, is what drives medical legal claims and what are the department doing? We asked ourselves exactly that same question. And what can we do differently? The National Minister also asked that question, and the National Health and Medical Legal Claims, because it is a big challenge for the whole country. From our assessment, we have seen, we've been working on it, and we've got about a unit of two people that actually manages this from our part of the collaboration with our legal teams in the province and some of our advisors. We've analyzed that over the years, and there is definitely an increase, but there's also a global increase, and it's that in your legal strategy, there's a different appetite for a medical legal claims, such as with high expectations, patients find the ability to make complaints and also to have access to law support, legal support, which actually provides you the right to ask for support if something goes wrong in terms of their mind. So we respect the fact that patients would like to have compensation if it's required, and also to have clarity about what's happening. So we understand that. So we have seen an increase. So at the moment, the span is we have 218 active claims in the high court. And we've got 250 cases that have been notified by, but it's not yet before the court. So as previously indicated by Mr. Gary, is that of all the cases that come to our way, 75% of them were actually, they don't even reach the court. We handle the outside the court. Now, some of them are actually defensible and they actually not the case. But that 50% that do go to court, those are the ones that on one hand, we make sure we get the best information possible to make our case, also to make sure that we learn from those cases. I can assume that our system from the lessons that we learn from each of those cases. So the strategies that we have developed is at the primary prevention level, is to say, what can we do to improve the quality of our care? How can we prevent negligence from happening? How can we prevent error from happening? And a lot of things are being put in place. We have a clinical governance policy department. We've got a range of quality approaches to make sure that staff are aware of what other practices do, that we monitor the practices has been done, and as I said earlier, we learn that there were mistakes. We've got an important system where clinicians will respond to those measures and the community will respond to that. As part of the secondary prevention part, we focus very much on having a better response to complaints. There was a sense of culture where the department would go into the fence when they received complaints. We changed the practice. We see that as an opportunity to understand better from the patient's perspective what are the experiences and what can we do better. So we saw that in all our services, make sure that when a complaint arrives, immediately respond, immediately trying to make sure that the patient feels or the family feel that they are heard and that they are taking that seriously. So there's a lot of approaches in that regard, and we also have a secret policy, we've got independent health complex committees, and in this case, appoint a three-person committee who are independent from the department and who are then weekly for minister or refer patients to them who can then independently investigate the complex. So we really try to get a much better way. We also have access to the reporting system in our services. If any adverse event happens, we pick it up and we then respond immediately to see our history of this. So you see that we've got a very much developmental approach in that regard. Furthermore, as part of secondary prevention, we also built our capacity to deliver medical recommendations. We have a person who has been a pediatric surgeon who has now taken on the task for the last 10 years. And he understands the legal facility, he understands how services are being directly on these cases, and he is one of the leading persons in the country in this regard. What we've also done together with our legal support is to look at case law reform, where what has happened in the past is that a child, for example, with birth injury would change 50 million, the family would change 50 million, the 2024. So we are in a broad form where if the money then is not used, it reverts back to the department. And also we are taking, if the money that we pay up is not enough, we will talk about it. We've already got through the approval for that approach, and because currently we await the outcome from court, where we are taking these cases to see what we've seen. We can in a broad form to reduce the amounts that we are paying. There's also other strategies to reduce the amounts of the transfer pay equipment as well to board and consider that. So on that, I think the bottom line is that very seriously. We recognize that internationally having medical relationships is part of the business. We just want to contain that as much as possible. In our chair, there were several questions on the community health workers and board by structures key. Structures clarify is that under the ministry communicated that the impact that we wish to achieve is to make sure that the improved health outcomes and the community health workers are the key players in this process. So at the national level, and why we might try and report where Western Cape doesn't report anything on the work that is to clear the definition that the national has defined. While we're doing exactly the same, we don't call it by the OT. So we can't report on something that we are modeling slightly different, and that's why it comes to feel that way. So there was a question how many community health workers they have in our system. The things of where we take that snapshot, it's 3,500, sometimes it's up to 3,800, depends on the attrition of the group, but that is the number that we have. As was previously indicated, they are appointed through the APOs at the Ministry of State, and in the presentation we gave the acceptance that they will receive. We've got very large contract management, and it goes both from the centre, but then also at the local level, where the local sub-districts and the districts are engaged are very key with the NPOs. As was indicated, we've got a community-based service worker, or the public health system, and they are managed directly with the primary health care manager appointed by the NPO. And that team is also the new company team. So they form a true to make sure that no patients are then missed in the system, and we've got one true mechanism. I must say the ability of the NPOs to respond to patients are far superior to what we can get. And they are responsive, they live in the communities, they know the communities, and are asking, and they really respond to it. We've also built working on small capacity of our NPOs, the training courses, planning, managing, and all of those aspects. We're also looking at support very often to keep from the challenges to be able to make sure that they can do this. So we believe this is the right way to go. We definitely see the impact of that, and our health outcomes are able to that. There were questions about accountability, and I think that one has just mentioned in terms of how the contracts are made. And we'll see this coordinator at the ministry level. They know everything about it. I recognize that it's not good if we've got contracts, it's not good if we've got six districts, and I want to recognize that. So that is a very fantastic. We really had problems with the NPOs. We said that we were not in support, so we had to stop the contract. Because that's not the management level. I would like to move to the ideal clinic, Madam Chair. And that's just to put it in context, that the ideal clinic is a description of how a clinic should function. What the way that we approach it, the clinic is not an isolated entity. The clinic is not a system. And that is why our approach is to make sure that the clinic is linked to your community health workers, and the clinic is also a link towards your hospital system. That is, the patients don't experience any fragmentation in the approach. So the question was, why would we start with only in April 2016 with our building classes imposed by the National Department? And I can agree with the National Department in this regard, and the main reason being that the National Core Standards require of our clinics and the primary facilities and hospitals on a regular basis to record compliance to certain standards. that are built into some 200 indicators with various of the elements and the national portion which is about the industries over there. So our position is to consolidate strategy at the national level between the Office of Architectural Strategy and the Architectural Approach, which one should we do because both in pursuit of strategy of shame, and what is a leading effort at the primary level. So the nations, especially the ones already stretched, we need to make sure the supplies are there, we need to make sure the medication are there, etc. And all that could report to the Minister of the Shame Factor. So one of the questions that you had was why is that we that one of the issues may have a lower reporting rate. It's only 4 months that we've been in the process and we've been quite high achievement. The aim of target that we have changed is the aim of the additional mentioned here. So the metro was 100% of all the facilities will be assessed. And the rural area, due to the complexities there, that there will be, they will approach 50%, and they put a particular part of the region, 30% of them, to at least reach solar status. So there's a very clear target setting, dedicated to the process of re-engineering how to achieve those. I also want to indicate that what is contained in the Rural Link are matters that the region promised have identified previously and have been working on already. So to achieve two or even platinum status, we do believe that that was the case even before we started that working, because we could systematically be working on it. But what is now about that, I don't think it gives you an assessment mechanism by which you can be assessed. So there were some indicators that indicated that we that was more in discussion with the national government in terms of those indicators. For example, do you have in small things, do you have a full resuscitation trolley? Do you think your generator on a weekly basis? I think some people tell us you think your generator on a weekly basis is your capacity and the severity of the generator. So these are the key capacities that we're doing in the national department. But I think the bottom line is, Honourable Chair, that we are on the subject and we believe that it will definitely help us to achieve our goals. Any other questions regarding the shift data and how our services we provide some of the things. So we actually agree with our little manual main point that it is an unfunded mandate or schedule paid out for municipalities to enter priority service. Not part of the mandate. The approach we've had is that in the rural districts, all those things have been provincialized about 10 years ago already. It's only a metropole where Shift Cape Town vendors primary healthcare services and we also get primary healthcare services. It is something that has been approved at our intergovernmental committee, which is co-chaired by the mayor as well as the premier. So the principle has been accepted that if the constitutional right is in balance, there is a process to continue to start moving those services to balance. It's a process for unfolding at the moment that is not yet concluded. But in the meantime, there's a solution agreement for the country manage, and that the minister also meets very often with the MACO member, and the district health council, in the metro, the minister is also getting very much in touch with the district health council, and the work that they're doing. So we do believe that we try to foster good relationships, try to be the basis of the but it is something that must be created, and we are working on that, so we actually agree with the Honourable who asked that question. There's also a question regarding the infrastructure regarding the city of Cape Town regarding environmental impact assessment, particularly in Bellahawk. We are highly informed of the challenge. Clearly, what advice would be that should be resolved with the city of Cape Town and the political leadership in that regard. Because the understanding is close also to the city, and if it's danger to health, obviously it must receive attention. But I think the medical memory of the ship would be that I think that's just an idea of that matter. On other infrastructure matters, there was a question about the Dora and what the Dora grant problems. The issue is largely, as was indicated, that there is between the DORA and the DORA framework, there is not good alignment. So it's not the DORA itself that's probably that for the DORA framework, is there's not good alignment between those two. If more information is required, we can provide that. There was also a question about capacitation and particular areas of skill that were offshore. I'm very glad that the HOD for Partners and Public Works is here as well. And discuss the areas of challenge and especially quantities of layers and some of the engineers, the chemical engineers of us, are scarcity that we find in health, in public works, and even in education where we work with public works assets. Ms. Gooch and Ms. Ronson, we're welcome to also come in there. But it is an area we're working on versus, etc. Of course, in the OSD for this particular group of staff. It's not helpful in terms of giving the type of service that's required. We are not allowed to go beyond the OSD, so we are confirmed that the OSD can provide the service. Due to the scarcity in the private sector that we are competing at the end of the regular cost space, this is not really helpful because often it's not received by the amount of money that you can have. The maintenance budget, I've asked sometimes the input just to respond to that concept of infrastructure input. The facility being constructed, I'm not sure that the source of it is really here. We can answer those with the committee. The question was, what was constructed in 2013, what was constructed in 2016? I'll give you the opportunity to respond to that. There was also a question about which projects do we have PPPs on. At the moment, from an infrastructure point of view, we do not have PPPs per se. We are envisaging, as she has indicated, that part of the cost of due to the feasibility study showing the impact of that project that we might have to occur to the type of construction that is still by the development and we will be able to control trade. Before I go on to other items, I'd love to just a question to Dr. Thomas Kansas from the other question.
Thank you very much
to
you, Honourable Chair. In terms of capacity, the question is what the strategy will be for these to bring capacity and it goes both as in a recognition for the Department of Health and Digital Public Works. We started 10 years of 2006 with a training program called the Traffic Digital, which was around specifically focusing on the book sector and attempting to increase the number of grocery sales that were previously by apartment production using about 10 groceries per annum. To share the increase that up to the region of 270 groceries per annum. To enable studies in the built environment fields. And we have been very successful in the graduates that have come out from that particular program, focusing both at the graduates from the Cape University of Technology, University of Cape Town, as well as the University of Cape Town in the built fields. As Dr. Ingrid mentioned, we then bring the graduates into our departments. And they are appointed as candidates for provisions. And we have now included a program which is a professional development program to then take the graduates to the necessary mentoring processes so that they can become professionally registered with their particular functions and hopefully the conditions so that we're able to hold post-treatment capacity. Obviously, the challenge then for us is our change of normal provisions we're required to advertise positions generally. You can't just take somebody in the house not being developed and being gone through all of the years of processing in the department and automatically appoint them. They have to compete with anybody else. And we're starting to see recruits of it of about 2 or 3 people per year. It's not in the quantum that one is looking for in terms of dealing with some scarcity in the fact that they have. And we mentioned actually a meeting on Monday afternoon with the Department of Health. We can see the different collaboration going on from the graduates to the National Health Department on the case with the Department of Health and Human Capacity. But the challenge of that, particularly on the conscious surveying front, has been the fact that from the CPT's perspective, they are not yet accreditation for professional body. So the graduates that are coming out from CPT are not able to now be officially registered with the conscious surveying council. And have to go through additional programs as staff members so they can become professionally registered in the system. While discussion that we've got the student program on the one hand, which is exacerbated by the fear of limitations. We've got all those staff members in our department, but we're missing that middle band. So people with 18 or 20 years worth of experience that are really the ones that can mentor the community and show the young people coming in what they should be doing, how they should manage the changing situations. So we've got the experience of dealing with difficult contractors, consulting teams and so on. And those are the ones that we are bringing back into a trust into this department. And in terms of skills at the academy levels, we are competing with the private sector time and time again. I've had one of the statistics saying recently there is an engineer who wants to appoint, but he offers something almost, I think about 50% more from private companies than what we were allowed to offer into the OECD stage. And we compensate for that because there are actions to show the private sector. We are doing our best to really write down time and buy in perhaps from the practice, but it's obviously a country premium. So that what we're doing is we're appointing people who are specifically department to fill that machine that gap, but we're really paying an additional cost on top of the higher salaries in the private sector, we're also paying an additional cost in the overall management team. So those are some of the strategies that we're employing to fill the gap in itself, but there's certainly a bigger view and a bigger situation in terms of the pipeline feeding into the development sector that is funding.
On HR, as you mentioned, there was a question about temporary workers.
and how far are we implementing the new legislation from the Labour Relations Act. I could just mention that there is a training session for senior managers in this regard, possibly our research out, and we are monitoring that. So that is very clearly implemented in our department, and we're monitoring that very tightly. So we should not take 4 months, but the number will for 3 months, beyond 3 months, so we are okay working on that. There was also a question about 500 people being investigated in the province for fraud.
Having pilots. There are 3 main areas where we are having community-based pilots.
in Brighton, same as the one that I'm meeting team that says the PhD seems like in addition to that there's a focus on alcohol harm reduction. And the second one which is in Gunia Hapo, Gunia to Hapo, Hapo, Gunia, and there's a third one which is in Kayanisha. And the misunderstanding is that what we are doing similarly, as I have described what we are doing in Brighton, say we must just simply go in there and just go through in our way. You know, working with the community, starting from the ground, understanding what the issues were, and doing surveys. So, for example, when we did the survey in Konya, what we realized is that any community member in that area, within a 24-hour period, only has to walk 3 minutes to get access to alcohol in a 24-hour period. So, where the law is quite strict about alcohol availability, a lot informal machine owners and what that means is that they access to alcohol that is uncontrolled. So we have been working with community members and with even legal shipping owners to say, well, first of all, this is a problem for our community. Secondly, how do we collaborate and work together to transform the situation? So the first thing that is around the shipping and trying to increase alcohol. Secondly, is our Department of Community Safety is working on good neighborhood watches. So they have neighborhood watches, they train them, they give them uniform, and they have them patrolling timetables. And we have also these, so there is a mobile that actually sits within the community where the neighborhood watches the station there, there is Wi-Fi, and if there is any issue that the community member has, they can go there and they will close with the police, etc. And the other part is that obviously we understand particularly with humans that economic change. So together with our economic development department, we're also looking at economic opportunities and alternatives. And the third part, the third lever where we are very involved in is with regards to social services. So we have implemented in 3 health facilities that in Calum as well as appointment at the moment, for all patients that come into a trauma room, either to bring motivational intervention to actually try and stop people from using alcohol in a harmful way that then results in injuries. Thank you so much. I have a few questions about responses. Just explain to us what the number is in the game. But I don't think it's important to also identify the need to allow the number of these challenges. So if we remember the woman falls pregnant, that's not a challenge to be resolved. We believe that this area has been presented child, the best child to have a good brain development and also to prevent conditions. So the need to change for the marriage child, the mother has to run for that access to alcohol. There's a lot of problems with, across the shingles where they can have that. So the next year was just one or two questions. I want to speak, I was just going to play this process as well, if my colleagues could just respond to that. And then there was one on a food slush when they expired. I don't know whether we don't actually have a particular role to play in that regard. We just oversee the environmental health at a more policy level. But whether they connect this first and next step.
And just to elaborate, we are governed by legislation to recover all money into the state. That's why we do a bit whether we agree with the mini stage for us. The since the debt of office program, I believe it's programmatic, we had it over to the debt collectors. They have a strict parameters which they must acquit in collecting it, because we do not want to put them to do it in a way that is not in line with the morals of the department. They are only receiving the fee for money that's actually covered.
Thank you very much. I would really follow up on the two questions that I
Mm-hmm.